This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So as you have noticed that from the beginning of Ramadan, I've been going from surah to surah. We talked about Surah Baqarah, then Surah Ali Imran, Surah An-Nisa. Naturally speaking, I should go to the next surah, which is Surah Al-Ma'idah. But today, inshallah, I want to take sort of a detour. And I want to talk about another important issue that is, once again, really taking place in our community, and I feel like that it's very important that we have to talk about these kind of things, because that's the only way we will be educated about these particular matters that are really affecting our families. Before I get into the topic of my discussion, I'm going to share with you three different stories from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once again, you've heard these stories before, but once again, it's a reminder for all of us. The very first one is a story of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So it is mentioned by Abu Juhayfa, Wahab ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he established brotherhood between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So he made pairs. And between these pairs, they would look after each other, they would visit each other, and they would pretty much look after each other. So it's mentioned that Salman came to visit his brother Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He saw the wife of Abu Darda, and she was, as the book of Hadith mentions, or the Hadith mentions, that she was disheveled. And so he asked that, "Why are you like this? Where is Abu Darda?" So she says that Abu Darda has lost all kind of interest regarding this world. So throughout the day he is fasting, at night he is praying salat, he has no time for me, he has no time for anyone else, and he's just dedicated himself to ibadah all day long. So Salman, basically what he did was that he came and he began to live. He just lived one day, he stayed with Abu Darda for one day. When he made food, so during the daytime he came to Abu Darda, he made food and he said that, or Abu Darda made food for him as being the host, and he says, "Here you go, you eat." He says, "Why won't you eat with me? I'm the guest." So this is Salman saying. So he says that, "I'm fasting." He goes, "No, you're going to break your fast and you're going to eat with me." So Abu Darda broke his fast and he began to eat with Salman. When the night came, he says that, "I'm going to stand up from the beginning of the night and I'm going to dedicate myself all night long." Salman said, "No, you're going to go to sleep. Go to sleep and we'll see later on." After a while, again, Abu Darda tried to get up. He says, "No, go back to sleep. You need to give your body rest. You need to spend time with your family." Then he says, again, that later on into the night, probably in the last part of the night, again, then Abu Darda tried to get up. Salman said, "Okay, fine, get up." They both prayed together. And then he said, the very well-known saying, he says that إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا فَأَعْطِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. That your Rabb has a right upon you, meaning that you have certain responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, he says, your soul and yourself, you have a right upon yourself. And your family has a right upon you. And then he says, give everyone their due rights. Later on, Salman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he informed him of what he told Abu Darda. He just wanted confirmation from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that did he approach this matter the right way? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Sadaqa Salman." Salman has spoken the truth. So from this one hadith, we learn that when it comes to our ibadah, we have certain ibadah that there is no compromise in. Salah, there is no compromise in. But when it comes to everything else, any additional prayer and so forth, we have to do them in moderation. The next story, quickly. What happened to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu at the time of the Battle of Badr? We all know the Battle of Badr was one of the most illustrious battles in the history of Islam, and it took place in the month of Ramadan. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this is the very first time now they're able to go and fight against the Quraysh. And if you study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while they were in Mecca, there was no military conflict between them and the Quraysh. They had to remain under persecution, religious persecution, and they had to endure that religious persecution with patience. So now they're in Medina, now they're starting to feel like, you know what, now we can stand on our feet and let's fight back and let's retaliate if they come to us. So they met in the Battle of Badr. So every single Sahabi is thinking, I want to be part of this battle. And by the way, if you study the ranks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Badriyun, those who attended the Battle of Badr, they have a very special maqam in status compared to the other Sahaba. But you have to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's trying to establish the importance of balance, the importance of family. And he's telling his own son-in-law, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that no matter how important this battle is, that your wife is sick, meaning the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your wife is sick and you need to stay at home and take care of her. And we learn that even from the other, like even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know another story of Uwais al-Qarni, that he had a mother and he used to take care of his mother. But he understood that I could go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who would not want to go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Think about it. If you and I knew that Rasulullah sallam is there, of course every single person would want to go and visit. But he gave up, he sacrificed his visit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of his priorities. At that time, his priority was to look after his mother because there's no one looking after her. The point is, there has to be a certain level of balance. We also learned that from Surah Al-Hujurat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is spending time with his family. If you say the entire 24-hour day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fajr, he will give time to the Sahaba. During the daytime, he will give time to his community. After Dhuhr, he will give time to the emissaries, the delegations that will come from outside of Medina. After Asr, he will give time. He will have general time for everyone else. He would go out and visit and meet all his family members and his wives and so forth. After Maghrib, that was the time when he would spend time with his family. After Isha, by the way, we don't find from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that he would stay up for long hours. After Isha, he would go to sleep very quickly, and then he would wake up for Qiyamul Layl. So after Maghrib, this is the time when he was spending time with his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights his story in the Qur'an by saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجَرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. There were some Bedouins that came outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said that, Ya Muhammad, أُخْرُجْ إِلَيْنَا. Like, Muhammad, come outside, we have some questions. First of all, we understand how the Bedouins were at that time. Allah is telling them that you be patient. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. They are to be patient. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the prophet for the entire mankind. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there to serve them. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there to answer their questions. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is with his family, it does not matter what other religious obligations do exist. If they're not considered mandatory, then they can wait. They can wait. Now, what am I trying to get from all this? What we're starting to see, and what I'm hearing from the community members, is that there's a lack of balance in the families. A lot of times, let me give you a scenario. Scenario number one is that a husband goes out. Why? Because he's very passionate for da'wah. He goes out and his family is left behind. And his family is left behind, and no one is there to look after them. He has not made arrangements, he has not done anything to set himself up for success, or he's not done anything to set his family up for success, and he's just left them, and he's gone out. Kids are sick at home, he's still gone out. Whether it's for days or even for hours. Once again, what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the family comes first. Da'wah can remain, da'wah can wait. Other people can do the da'wah. You can go, the husband can go anytime, anywhere else, and do all the volunteering he wants anywhere else, but the family takes precedence first. Likewise, even for the sisters, and I want the sisters to listen to this very carefully, because I hear often husbands also saying that the wife is not there to take care of the domestic responsibilities. The wife is not there to take care of the domestic responsibilities. There are the responsibilities of the children, the responsibilities of the house, and there are the rights of the husband also. Whether it's, you know, the emotional needs of the husband, the physical needs of the husband, whatever it is. But there are rights of the husband. So often what we're hearing is that even a lot of times women would go outside. All day long they're dedicating themselves. Here da'wah, there da'wah, this charity organization, that charity organization, husbands are off to work throughout the day. They are dedicating themselves. They're making the best use of their time. It is the best use of their time. But not, listen to this very carefully, not at the expense of the rights of your family. Not at the expense of the right of your family. If you are, as a sister, if you're going out and you're spending your time all day long dedicating yourself, and but you are tired and you come home in the evening and you're not able to give time to your family, you're not able to give time to the responsibilities, the domestic responsibilities of the house, you're not able to give time to your husband and so forth, then this is a travesty. This is a crime. First comes the family, then comes everything else. Then comes da'wah, then comes volunteering. Even to the point that I will say this very clearly, even though as the imam of the masjid, I will tell you that yes, we need so many volunteers and so forth. But at the same time, family comes even before volunteering. Family comes before even volunteering. Let me give you another scenario. Because this also came up. Husband is out for the entire week for work. Now that he has come back, he only has 2 days in town. But now he comes and the wife is saying, I need to go out, I need to go to the masjid, I need to go here, there, this is the month of Ramadan, I need to go out and do some work. Now at this time, the husband is only home for 2 days during the week. It is the right, it is the responsibility of the wife that she stays and she be there with her husband. If the husband is going out to earn a living, to put food on the table, to provide a roof over his family's head, then when he comes home for 2 days during the week, at that time, the wife is not supposed to be going out. If the husband says, no problem, you can go out, that's a different case. But what we're hearing is, I'm hearing stories, that the wife is going out, and the husband is getting so upset that he says, you know what? You go to the masjid, I don't even want to go to the masjid. It's almost as if the husband is taking out the anger of his wife, neglecting him on who? On the masjid, on the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance that is not taking place within our families today. Also, the same thing applies that, subhanAllah, when it comes to family time, there has to be some time of the day where there's always time for the family to get together, talk to each other, converse with each other and so forth. Now, you hear stories within our community, and once again, I've been getting a lot of, I just don't get one phone call and then I come here and I talk about this. It's a series of phone calls. I hear this over and over again, and I then feel compelled that I have to go and talk about this and address this. And whether people are here or later on, they can see this video later on. But once again, it's something that has to be addressed. And the problem is that sometimes there are some overly eager parents. They love their children, no doubt. They want their children to learn, no doubt. But what they do is that they go home and all day long, there is Quran being played on the TV, or there is some lectures that are being played on the TV, and some videos from any masjid or any personnel, scholar and so forth, and 24/7 is going on. And the family members now feel that we don't get time to converse with each other. Sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. But what they're doing is that they're saying that we're doing this for the kids. We want to play these videos all day long in the house so that the kids can listen. No doubt. But there has to be, once again, a balance. There has to be a balance. There is some part of the day where the videos are not playing. Give the videos a break. Give the lectures a break. Sit down as a family. Talk to each other as a family. Converse with each other. Talk about what's going on in their life. Talk about any challenges that are taking place. Because one reality I'll tell you, wallahi, is that when I see kids, when you see kids who come from very religious families and now they want nothing to do with religion? I've seen those kind of kids. I've seen those kind of teenagers. And if you study their life, what they saw and the reason why they have such a resentment towards religion is because they never got that love from their parents. Their parents were so overly religious at times that they were not giving their own kids time. Their parents were doing everything else, all the da'wah, all the help and charitable organizations and so forth. They were always outside the house, that they were never there to give time to their children. And so now the children, they're not blaming their parents for this lack of attention. They're blaming what? They're blaming their religion. They're blaming the Quran. They're blaming the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And now when they grow up, the parents are saying, we come from a very religious background. We always did religious work. Why is our children now resenting deen? It's because you created that environment. You never gave them the attention. When they came home, there was always a lecture being played. Sometimes the kids, even they get tired of the lectures over and over again. So this is why, brothers and sisters, there has to be a balance. Give time to each other. The masjid comes, I'm telling you honestly, the masjid comes after. Volunteering at the masjid comes after. You cannot volunteer at the masjid or anywhere else at the expense of your family, at the expense of the rights of your family members. Your family comes first. Your children come first, your wife comes first, and your husband also comes first. And if we keep this in mind, this is in line with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give time to his family and neglect all his other responsibilities. And there was a time of the day that when he's with his family, and now they're coming and they're saying, Muhammad, come outside sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is telling us, no, he's with his family. Now you wait. It's your time to wait. So this is why these are the things that we learn from our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to understand these kind of matters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to establish a balance in our life. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.